Currently in a series of studies in the book of 1 John, and this morning we're in chapter 3, but next week we're going to interrupt the series, and I want to bring a message about the greatest killer and the greatest healer of human relationships. And this will pertain especially to marriage, to parenting, to friendship, to employer-employee, cover every area of life. The greatest killer and the greatest healer of personal relationships. Let me encourage you to try to be here. I've been thinking about this for some time and want to bring this message. And I once read from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the greatest of all preachers, never save anything. If it's on your heart, deliver it, because you never know, you might never get the opportunity. So I want to do that next week. If you're planning a trip, cancel it. If you're planning to sleep in, get up. And let's be together. And please be in prayer. I think it'll be especially important for all of us. Today we're going to look at verses 4 to 10. In 1 John chapter 3. Let me begin reading at verse 1. How great is the love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children or sons of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. Everyone who breaks the law, in fact, everyone who sins breaks the law, in fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, neither is anyone who does not love his brother. Now, as we go along in life, one of the perplexing issues and one of the questions that continually comes before us is attempting to discern who is really a Christian and who is not. And continually I have people come to me and say, Bill, do you think that person, that man or that woman was really a Christian because of some kind of behavior? Or we all have a lot of examples of people who have come to town and they come to church and they profess Christ and they toot a loud horn and they give testimonies and they get on committees and we make them church leaders, and then 6 months later you don't see them. They're back in the old life. We say, well, was that person ever a Christian or not? And it's hard for us. I remember probably more than 10 years ago now, a young man hit the scene as an evangelist and was widely accepted in evangelical circles, and everybody thought that he would surpass Billy Graham in his fame and preaching ability, marvelous orator, great communicator, just a very attractive person. You'd want to listen to him. But not long after this fame, he denied the deity of Christ. And he is not preaching. He is not an evangelist. And you wonder, was he ever really trusting in Christ or not? I think this passage in 1 John helps us a great deal. On the back of your news sheet, you have an outline to help us work our way through this passage, which deals with the matter of uncertainty. And to me, the statement which summarizes what John is saying here is this opening sentence, that the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil is that the children of God will live. Now, that's a definite statement. Will live in righteousness, and the children of the devil will continue in sin. And the way he unfolds this is that he reveals this difference through some very direct, precise, exact declarations about the children of God and the children of the devil. And these are absolute statements. They're not relevant. They are absolute. Now the first one in verses 4 through 6. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Now, I think he's first of all making a general statement about everyone when he says, everyone who sins breaks the law, which includes all human beings. We have all sinned by breaking the law. And the expression here refers to what we sometimes call transgression. Transgression of the law is breaking the law. It's the spirit of rebellion against the authority of God. It's what Adam and Eve did in the garden when they overthrew the authority of God, when they broke his commandment. Now, we are all guilty of that. We are all transgressors of the law. And mainly what we do is try to be God, to become God. We want to be our own authority. We want no authority over us. Therefore, we break the law of God. That includes everyone. Then John says in verse 5, but you know that he appeared, that is Christ, appeared so that he might take away our sins. Now, then he says, in him there is no sin. So, to heal the sin problem of his elect, his chosen people, the Lord Jesus Christ came, lived a sinless life, which set him apart, and enabled him to make the sacrifice and pay the debt for our sin that would bring pardon and forgiveness and acceptance and justification. So he died on the cross. That's called an atonement. And atonement means covering, so that the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sin so that we can be forgiven and accepted by the holiness of God even though we have sinned. Now, John uses the term our sin, and I believe that he uses the term our in contrast to their. Jesus died to take away our sin. The our sin is the people who are God's elect and God's chosen people. Their sin is the sins of the children of the devil. And John is talking about a group of people in his day known as the agnostics, who are false teachers and who deny the deity of Christ and are in fact the children of the devil, even though they had joined this Christian crowd for a while. And John is making a difference. Jesus Christ appeared to take away our sin. He did not take away their sin. The atonement is definite for the sins of God's elect, and he came to do that. Now then, he goes on to make a very direct statement in verse 6 about the difference. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning, and no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Now here is a very, very important statement. Those who live in him, that is, the children of God, do not keep on sinning. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Now, how do we interpret that? How do we look at that? The King James Version would say, no one who lives in him commits sin. And yet, here we are as believers, and we know absolutely that we sin. And that because God has regenerated us and has saved us and pardoned us and justified us, we have not become sinlessly perfect. So how do we look at this? When the Word of God says no one who lives in him keeps on sinning or continues to sin, and yet we do. Well, we have to look carefully at the grammatical construction and the use of words, the word that comes to us about keeps on or continues. What does that mean? It means that those who trust in Jesus Christ and are born of God and who are in the family of God do not sin as a way of life. It's no longer the way we live, continually, habitually. It's not our commitment. It's not our dedication. We're not sinlessly perfect, but there is a change. And we have a new view about sin. And when we now sin, we are in agony. It hurts. We get tired of it. We get sick of our sin. We should not sin easily. We should not boast about sin. We should not dismiss it lightly. We should have a genuine repentance about sin. And the children of God, those who are born of God, those who trust in Christ, will not keep on sinning. Now, as to the uncertainty of who is a Christian and who is not, John makes a very precise statement, and every one of us have to evaluate our life and the life of others in the context of this passage. Now, let me say this. An important thing about our evaluation and our determination must be based on God's Word and not solely on human experience. You and I can't really know about another person. We really can't make that judgment directly. We can only do it in the light of God's Word. And we can say this to anyone and to ourselves: no one who lives in him keeps on sinning, does not practice sin as a way of life. And if that is occurring, then we would have to say we are children of the devil, because that's what John says. Those who keep on sinning, in verse 6, no one who continues to sin has either known him or known or seen him, never have. A person who continually practices sin as a way of life has never had it. Never trusted Christ, never been born again. Now, let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 8. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning along about verse 42. John 8:42. Jesus, the words of Jesus, he said to them, if God were your Father, strong statement. What family are you in here? If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why are my words not clear to you, or why do you not hear my words? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies, and so on. Now, that's a very clear statement. Who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil? The Bible says the children of the devil cannot hear the word of God and cannot understand. He said, you have never seen him or heard him. There is a difference here between the children of God and the children of the devil. They are not born of God. They are not trusting Christ. They continue in sin. The children of God do not continue in sin. Now, the second declaration John makes in verses 7 and 8. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Now, he begins with a warning. Do not let anyone lead you astray. Don't be deceived about this. You better get this straight. You better not play games about your life. Do not be deceived about who is a son of God and who is a son of the devil. This is heaven or hell. This is the determination of eternal destiny. And he makes this statement. The sons of God will live in righteousness just as he is righteous. Or the sons of God will do what is right. It's not if, it's not perhaps, it isn't maybe. The sons of God will live in righteousness as he is righteous. And the sons of the devil continue to sin. Now we have a problem here. We need to explain what it means to live righteously or to do right. What does that mean? That the children of God will live in righteousness or do what is right just as he is right. What does that mean? How do you apply that to your life? What would our life look like this morning, that being true? Well, let's approach it this way and take the negative aspect first. What would be the most unrighteous thing or the most unrighteous nature of a human being? What could be the worst thing that you could think of that you could label unrighteousness? What would that be? What is the most foul, the most putrid, the most corrupt, the most ugly, the worst thing that you could think of that would be in the life of a human being? Now, normally we would begin to make a list of things, the deeds that are the result of something that's worse. The most unrighteous thing a human being can do is to fail to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the worst. That is the absolute worst. That is the most, that's the most awful thing in the sight of God. To deny his son. That when God says something and we don't believe it, when God says something and we don't trust, that's the worst. That is the absolute worst. The denial, the rejection, the neglect, the unbelief in the heart of human beings is the absolute worst. That's what Adam and Eve did. That's what Lucifer did, who became Satan. That's what the fallen angels did, who followed him. And that unbelief is what brings the condemnation and wrath of God upon us. The unbelief is what spells hell as eternal destiny. Unbelief toward Jesus Christ is the unforgivable sin. And not to trust in Christ for salvation is the most unrighteous thing a person could do. So we turn it around to say then, what is the most righteous thing about a human being? It is simply to believe. It is to trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation. When we trust, we are righteous. And that covers all behavior. Now, you search the writings of John alone, you'll find this to be true. In the Gospel of John, 98 times he states faith and belief in Jesus Christ. He says to believe is the thing, and that's very true. When we believe, we are righteous. When we do not believe, we are unrighteous. And trusting in Christ covers all the commandments of God. The one who is trusting Christ will not continue in sin. The one who is not trusting Christ will continue in sin. Now, let's approach it this way. Let's consider this. Stopping everything bad is not righteousness. Now, let's get our list out and go through that here. Stopping everything bad is not righteousness. Now, let's say a person, if it's a sin, and uses tobacco in every form. I mean, he puffs it, he dips it, he cheeks and gums it, or whatever he can do with it. You know, you do it all. You do everything you can with alcohol. You do everything you can with drugs. You commit every act of immorality you can think of. You're absolutely dishonest. You're a deceiver. You're untruthful. You're lazy. You've committed murder. You're an obscene person. More than that, you're cruel. Now, something comes along in your life. If it's a fella, sometimes he meets a nice girl and she says, I'm not putting up with that. And so, in order to get her, he stops some of this stuff. Is that righteousness? Of course not. The person stops all that and gets into a morality, becomes more ethical, and I tell you, that is not righteousness. To stop doing bad things is not righteousness. That person still continues in sin by not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? I didn't hear amen. Amen. All right. Now, let's turn it around. Let's say you're living along in life and you decide to become good. And you start doing good things. And you're very kind. And you give to the poor. And you go to church. You serve in the church. You begin to do every good work that a human being could think of. And I tell you, that is not righteousness. Startling, isn't it? The way we think as human beings. Where do we get the truth? From the Word of God. You don't become righteous by stopping bad things. You don't become righteous by starting to do good things. There is only one thing that is righteous, and that is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you trust in Him, you are righteous. The result of trusting in Christ is that we are righteous as He is righteous. Now, how is He as righteous? He hates sin. He hates evil. When He was here, He was so hard on the hypocrite, on the phony, on those who were trying to perform in a religious style but didn't have trust in their heart or love for Him. He hated sin. He loved holiness. And for those of us who trust in Christ for salvation, we will be righteous by hating sin and loving holiness, pursuing purity and righteous behavior. As I was thinking through this passage, I was thinking personally, what is my testimony? As a pastor, my testimony is the credibility of my personal life, the reasonableness of living what I preach. And if that is not reasonable, I should never stand in the pulpit again. The credibility of pursuing holiness is a major concern. It's a major desire of mine. It's my prayer request for you to pray for me that my personal purity will be there, that my personal life will be credible. Otherwise, I must not preach. I hate my sin. I love holiness. I'm imperfect as you are. And let me tell you this, your testimony is the same. If you're running around this community claiming to be Christian, then your personal life must be credible. You and I must continue to trust in Christ. The third declaration that John makes is in verses 9 and 10. Strong language, very direct, exact, precise statements. Verse 9, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed or nature remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. Neither is anyone who does not love his brother. Now, this is a sort of a repeat, and John does this continually throughout the book. He just keeps repeating some statements he's made so that we'll begin to get it. He repeats, and that's the best way to learn. He says again, no one who is born of God will continue to sin. That is, will practice sin. We'll have sin as a habitual way of life that we determine to do. And again, notice the statement. He said, no one who is born of God will do it, will continue. You will not. If you are a child of God, you will not. Now he goes on to make an even more startling statement. He said, he cannot. If you are a child of God, you cannot continue to wallow your lifetime in sin. God won't allow it. Now, he gives two reasons. He says, one, you're born of God. And being born of God, you're in the family of God. You are regenerate. You are no longer degenerate. There has been a change. You don't become perfect, but you are a child of God, and God changes your life to hate sin and love holiness, and you will not practice sin. And then he says, you cannot. Why? Because God's nature remains in you. When you are born again, the Holy Spirit of God gives you a divine nature, which loves the truth of God, which loves the Lord Jesus Christ, which loves holiness and hates sin. Therefore, you cannot continue in sin. And now John answers the question that we started with in the beginning. How do you know? How do you know who's who? How do you know for your own life? Verse 10, he says, this is how we know. And when he says, this is how we know, we better sit up and pay attention to this. This is the Word of God. We don't trifle with the truth of the Word of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right by trusting in Jesus Christ is not a child of God. Here's the assurance of who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are, the convincing proof. Anyone who does not do what is right, and what is right is to trust in Christ. Anyone who does not do that is of the devil. John summarizes the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil is that the children of God will live in righteousness, the children of the devil will continue in sin. How wonderful is the Word of God. how great it is to have the truth. And as we think about our lives, here is a very serious declaration that we are confronted with that presents us with an either-or, a heaven or hell, Christ or Satan, believer or unbeliever, righteousness or unrighteousness. Now, if you are here this morning and you are trying to be righteous apart from trusting in Jesus Christ, you'll never make it. The one thing that is righteous is to trust in Him. And trusting in Him brings the right behavior. To continue in sin means that we are children of the devil. And John said, don't let anyone lead you astray. Don't be deceived here. If we say we are Christians but continue in sin, we're not. If we say we are Christians but we continue in sin, we're children of the devil. Serious talk. Serious consideration. But praise God, we can be children of God. We can be in His family. And we can trust in Christ for our salvation. As we join in communion time, let's do that. In the spirit of righteousness, as we trust in Jesus Christ.